بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين.
صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوان الأنصار. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علمك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We'll be studying qualities of essence for God the Almighty. We have already talked about Sami', the hearing, Basir, the one we see. We talked about knowledge in general, and we said there are different arguments to prove that God has knowledge or ilm. One way was to say that since creatures of God, contingent beings which are created by God, have knowledge, this knowledge should in the first place be available for God, because every perfection, every good quality comes from the originator. Yeah? Al-illatul mufida. We said this is not the case about al-illatul mu'adda, preparatory cause. But for the originating cause, it's necessary to have every perfection that exists in the creature, because that's the source. Indeed, inshallah, when you study philosophy and you study transcendent philosophy of Mullah Sadra, you would see that the effect or ma'lul is not a separate being. You know, we tend to think that God is something and the creature is another thing which depends on God. Okay? So there are two independent things, but one of them needs the other. Like a child who needs his mother or his father. But after knowing more about the relation between cause and effect, especially in Al-Hikmat al-Muta'aliyah, transcendent philosophy of Mullah Sadra, it becomes clear that the effect is not a separate being. The effect is nothing other than dependence on the cause. You know, they call this al-idhafatu al-ishraqiyyah. Al-idhafa al-ishraqiyyah. Sometimes the relation is the relation between two things which are somehow independent from each other. Sometimes it's al-idhafatu al-ishraqiyyah, means one side is coming, is originated from the other, like a ray of sun for sun. What type of relation is between sun and its light? It's not the relation between two independent things. Yeah? So, the effect is totally dependent on the cause, even in its essence. So, if you know this, it's very obvious that whatever is in the effect, in the creature, comes from the creator, from the cause, from the originating cause. Whatever is there. Whatever is not there, something which is a matter of imperfection, a matter of lacking, of course, that's from itself. Yeah? So, if the effect lacks something, it shouldn't come from the cause. But if it has something, okay? مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Anything good comes from God. Anything bad does not come from God. Anything bad is your own poverty, is your own problem. This is, of course, one interpretation or one aspect of this ayah. So, one way to prove that God has knowledge is to say that because among the creatures of God, there are those who have knowledge, like us, human beings, like angels, they have knowledge. So this knowledge must exist in the first place in God. Of course, not in a limited way that we have. God has more than us. Okay? You remember I told you that if a person writes a book, it means that he has at least this much of knowledge. This knowledge which is in the book, this knowledge which comes in, the, for example, a speech, this knowledge which comes in training students, doesn't necessarily show that he has only this much. But at least this is the minimum. Okay? So, by looking at us and our knowledge, you cannot say God has only this much of knowledge. But we know that at least he has so much that he has given us this much. Okay? Of course, with some philosophical arguments, we know that his knowledge is unlimited. But what this argument can prove is that whatever is in creatures must exist in him in the first place. This is one argument. The second argument is to argue from the design, from the order and complexity that exists in this world for knowledge of God, to argue from them for the knowledge of God. Because design shows that there must be an intelligent designer who knows how to create this design and has power to do this design. He has both knowledge and power. And the third argument was to use purely philosophical arguments, like, for example, the argument that philosophers have developed, which says that every immaterial thing, every abstract, every mujarrad, mujarrad is the opposite to maddi. Maddi means material, corporeal. Mujarrad means abstract or immaterial. Everything which is mujarrad, everything which is immaterial, everything which is free from potential, is completely actualized, must have knowledge. كل مجرد فهو عاقل. Every immaterial thing has knowledge, has understanding, and also everything which has knowledge is مجرد. You can say it from both ways. كل مجرد فهو عاقل, and also كل عاقل فهو مجرد. Everything which has intelligence is immaterial. Because matter, madde, like, you know, the, for example, a piece of wood, a piece of iron, a piece of paper, they don't have understanding. They don't have awareness. They are not aware of what is happening around them. They are not even aware of themselves. If you do something to a piece of wood, that piece of wood doesn't understand. Let alone understanding what is happening to something which is next to it. It cannot understand even what happens to itself. If you are eating a bread, does bread understand that it is being consumed? The bread doesn't understand. Okay? Anything which has understanding is immaterial. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immaterial and he has understanding. If you take this further, if you develop it further, you can say in this way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything present for him. This is a very important concept, you know, if you could inshallah reflect on this later as well. Presence is very important. What does presence mean? Presence means awareness. Indeed, knowledge is nothing other than either the presence of the image of what is known to the knower, which is ilm-e husuli. Yeah, ilm-e husuli is what? Huzur surat al-ma'lum lada al-alim. The image of the known is present for the knower. This is ilm-e husuli. Or ilm-e huduri, which is the presence of what is known, not its image. By its very reality, very being, it's present for the knower. Like, your knowledge of your joy and happiness when you are happy and joyful. It's not through an image. It's not through a concept. The very joy that you have is present to you. This is ilm huduri, and this ilm huduri is not accepting, not admitting mistake. Interpretation can be mistaken because interpretation is ilm husuli, is conceptual. But ilm huduri itself does not admit mistake. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is present. Even He doesn't need to have image, because Allah's knowledge of us is not ilm husuli. Allah doesn't have mind. Zihn. He doesn't have mind, He doesn't have zihn, in which there are images, there are concepts. Everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present because everything is created by Him. So there is no way of thinking that God may be unaware, because everything by its very being depends on Him and is present to Him. Okay? If Allah was not aware of them, they could not exist and they could not continue to exist. They would not have come to existence and they would not be able to continue their existence if Allah is not aware of them. Can you be unaware of what is imagined, for example, by your mind? When you create a flower in your mind, okay? Can you be unaware of that flower? If you are unaware, that flower doesn't come to your mind. And the moment you start thinking about another thing and forget that flower disappears. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without knowing something, would not have given existence to it. It's impossible. So if you really understand the way everything depends on God, you realize that this cannot happen unless they are present for Him, they are known to Him, in the best way of knowing something. Okay? Especially remember that we are not separate from God. We are not separate from God. As that flower in your mind is not separate from you. It is different from you, but it's not separate from you. Okay? We are different from God, but we are not separate from God. Okay? You should train your mind, you know, for understanding this, that we are not separate from God. It's not that God has created something and thrown it outside. It's not like this, that we are thrown outside God. There's nothing outside God. But we are not also inside God, because God has no parts. Okay? So, this is another way to talk about or to argue for the knowledge of God. Then we talked about power. And I would like to clarify more one point that I think some brothers or sisters maybe found it difficult last time. We said that al-qudra, power, means the condition of the agent in the way that if the agent wants to do something, does it, and if the agent doesn't want, doesn't do it. كون فاعل بحيث إذا شاء فعل وإذا لم يشاء لم يفعل. The agent, the doer, if he wants, he does it. It means that he has free will. If he does wants, he does it. If he doesn't want, he doesn't do it. He's not forced to do things. This is the meaning of قدرة. So قدرة, in this technical sense, in this sense that in ilm kalam and falsafa, in theology and philosophy we use, power is not just a kind of power as we use in physics. In physics, when you say power, it has nothing to do necessarily with the agent. You can isolate power from the condition of the agent. Even power can come from a machine. Yeah? But here when we say al-qudra, it's not just energy or, you know, force or power of muscle or something like that. When we say qudra, we mean that the agent is able of deciding and then doing things. Does the things that he wants. If he doesn't want, he doesn't do them. Okay? This is qudra. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadir or qadir, meaning that he can do what he wants. This leads us to two important points. One is that when we say he does everything that he wants and doesn't do anything that he doesn't want, this applies to the things which are by themselves possible. If something is impossible, if something is muhad, is mustahil, is impossible, then there is no sense of talking whether God can do it or not. You can measure the power of the agent by seeing whether he can do something which is possible or not. You cannot measure the power by thinking about something which is impossible. Okay? I told you this example. You cannot say this person is good in mathematics or not good in mathematics if he cannot prove 2 plus 2 is 5. This is something that is, has problem in itself. It doesn't reflect the weakness of the person who cannot make 2 plus 2 5. So anything which is essentially possible, al-mumkin al-dhati, anything which is in itself possible, God, if he wants, he can do it. If he doesn't want, he doesn't do it. This is one point. The second point is something that I want to make some more explanation, because later I realized some people maybe had a little bit of ambiguity here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to the things which are possible in themselves, which are contingent, can do them if he wants, and also can avoid them if he wants. And this doesn't mean that he would necessarily do them. We said that if there is something, for example, bad, morally bad, like what? To punish a pious person, to send to hell a pious, obedient person. This by itself, this action by itself, is possible. Yeah? Is this possible or not?
Yes.
In itself, it's possible. Maybe some of human beings do that. We sometimes, unfortunately, punish innocent people. We punish good people. Yeah? So this action by itself is possible. What does it mean? It means that when you reflect on this action in separation from the agent, just focus on the action, you don't find anything which makes it logically impossible. This concept of logically, please pay attention, what does it mean? Logically, it means that intellectually, there is nothing in the action itself which makes it impossible. We don't find any contradiction here. We don't find any inconsistency here which makes this action impossible itself. It's not like making 2 plus 2, 5. Okay? So the action itself is possible, logically possible. It doesn't mean it's logical. You know, in English, sometimes you say something is logical in the sense that it is good. No, we are not talking about that. We mean that logically it's possible. But it means that in itself, it's not impossible. Okay? But is God doing this? That is another issue. Maybe something is logically possible. It means that it rationally is not impossible. Rationally, it's not like making 2 plus 2, 5. It's not like making something, for example, cold and at the same time not cold. This is contradiction. This is logically impossible. No. This idea of punishing an innocent person in itself is not impossible because we can do it. But it is a bad thing. It's immoral. It's unjust. Okay? So, is possible that God do something which is morally bad, something which is unjust? Is it possible that God does does such thing? We say, what do you mean by possible? Are you looking at the action itself? Or are you talking about God doing this? The action itself is possible, regardless of who is the agent. But the action cannot be issued from God. Because to do such unjust action, there must be a problem, a weakness in the agent. And God is free from weakness. God is free from wishing bad. Okay? So God does not do this, although the action itself is possible. Okay? So when I was saying that it's logically possible, I didn't mean that it's logical for God to do this. Okay? Is it clear? Yeah. It's not logical for God to do this. But it means that in itself it's logically possible, regardless of who is doing this, but the agent is not doing this. So, as scholars, to distinguish between these two types of possibilities and impossibilities, they say something is sometimes muhal dhati, it means that in itself is impossible, and sometimes it is possible, but it is muhal wuqu'i. It means that although logically it's possible, but it doesn't happen. Okay? It doesn't happen. It means that the agent will not do it. Because this agent has some qualities that would not match that action. Although the action itself is possible. And maybe someone else does that. But this agent doesn't do that. Is it clear? Yeah? Now let's talk about life. I think we didn't discuss life because although in the book life is mentioned before, but I think it's better to discuss it later. Because as you will see, knowledge and power are put in the concept of life. Al-hayat, life. When I was introducing this lesson, I said that in Islam, in Judaism, in Christianity, one of the concepts that we use for God is that God is living. God is hay, al-hay. Sometimes in the Quran, it is mentioned right after Tawheed, after unity of God, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hay. God is the one who is no one other than Him, He is the living. And sometimes it's mentioned even before Tawheed. Huwa al-hayy la ilaha illahu. It's very important to remember God as someone who is living. Because if God is dead, then cannot be God. Not only the God who is dead cannot be God, even the God who is sleeping cannot be God. Because when he's sleeping, then what is going to happen to the world? Yes? If God, when he is sleeping, he can still run the world, so it means that he is not doing anything for the world. It means that his awareness, his consciousness has no role. This is impossible. Yeah? If someone says that even if I am, for example, sleeping, I can run this office, it means that he's not doing anything for this office. If you are, when you are sleeping, you are doing something, it means that when you are awake, you are not doing anything. Okay? So, maybe people, by just looking at you, for example, they get inspiration, but then this is not your work. This is the people. So, if someone says that God is sleeping or God is dead and still can be God, it means that he has not understood what is the role of God. Can you be thinking of that flower in your mind when you are dead or when you are asleep?
No.
There must be consciousness. There must be awareness. There must be understanding. There must be will. Al-irada. There must be will. Even the Quran says not only God doesn't sleep, even he doesn't have nap. Yeah? لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Because even if he has nap, then the level of consciousness goes down. Yeah? This is not even possible. Because if consciousness goes down, then things can go wrong. When you are, you know, you, for example, sleepy, and then you drive, you can have accident. If you are sleepy and you want to, for example, write something, you see you write something and then you, you know, are again, you know, conscious. See, oh, who has written this? This doesn't make sense. Yeah, sometimes, I don't know, you must have this experience that, for example, sometimes you are reading something or taking notes, and when you are sleepy, you see, you know, you write things that later looks like something written by a child, and it doesn't make sense. Yeah? So, God has to be high. And high, not in the sense just like physical life, means aware, conscious, understanding. To understand better the relationship between hayat or life and understanding, in the book there is a distinction between two types of life. Sometimes we use life for plants. For plants. When we say a flower is alive, a tree is alive. What does it mean? It means that it can grow. It can make its necessary nutrition and grow. Okay? This type of life perhaps is the weakest life, the weakest form of life. But when it comes to animals and human beings, or animals including human beings, this depends on how you mean by animals. When it comes to animals, life is not just ability to grow. Life is understanding and having real power. You can understand what is happening and you can respond voluntarily. If there is a flower here, this flower doesn't understand that much what is happening around. Although I personally believe that even in vegetative life or in the life of the plants, there is a little element of awareness and power. But it's very weak, but it is there. Because I think there is no possibility of life without having awareness. But it's very weak. A plant cannot that much understand what is happening around. Cannot say, okay, I want to move from here to that side of the room. There is no enough light here, I want to move to that side. Okay? But if you have a cat, you make noise, that cat understands. Or if there is, for example, a threat, that cat can run away. If there is a food, that can go towards that food. So there is understanding, there is willpower, there is ability to do something, ability to respond to what is happening. Okay? So this is why in logic, in mantiq, when they mention different classes and different categories of beings, you know that how they come with definition of human beings? They say human beings are jawharun, qabilun lil ab'ad thalatha, a substance which has three dimensions, so it makes it jism. Then namen, it grows, so it makes it plant. Hassasun mutaharrikun bil irada, which makes it animal. Then natiqun, which makes it human being. So all these things should come together so that we have human being. So what is human being? You say haywan and atir, but if you want to analyze, then it is jawharun qabilun lil ab'ad thalasa namen hassasun mutaharrikun bil irada natiqun. Remember this, maybe you will be asked about this in the grave. Okay. So, this analysis shows that, first of all, whatever exists in the lower classes of existence should exist for the higher levels. So, whatever is there in an immaterial being, you have it. Whatever exists in plants, you have it. Whatever exists in animals, you have it, but you have something more. And that is your last differential, which is natiq, your ability to think. Okay? So, life in us is more advanced, is more perfect than life in a plant. When they wanted to make this distinction, they said, for plants, jismun namen. Namen comes from namuv. Inshallah, in Sarf, you learn. Namen was what? Anyone knows what is namen? It is like, you know, you say alim, fa'il. Yeah? Yeah, so namen is ismul fa'il from namuf. So it is namevun. Then it becomes namyun. Then it becomes namen because it is naqis. So then it has to become saken. And then it's deleted. So namen is namyun, which was namevun. Like ramen, like qazin. Okay? So jismun, namen is a plant, like a flower, a tree. But if there is hassas and mutaharrik bil irada, means understands, is sensitive, and can move voluntarily, then it's animal. And if can understand by thinking, is natiq, then it's a human being. Okay, so we have different forms or levels of life. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life is not at the level of a plant, of a flower, Because the problem with the life of the flower is that first of all, a flower grows, namen. But to grow, which may look, you know, something positive, which it is positive, but at the same time, it implies imperfection. The only things that can grow are the things which are not perfect. Yes, to be imperfect and not grow is bad. But to grow by itself is also a sign of imperfection. You know? Sometimes people say, no, it's very good to grow. We should grow. Yes, but this is for something which is imperfect. Okay? But something which is perfect doesn't need to grow. So, the life for Allah is not like animals. Like plants. Also, it is not like animals. Because in animals, their understanding is limited. Their taharruk, their motions are limited in the sense that they cannot do everything that they want. Yeah? Sometimes, for example, there is heat annoying you, but you cannot do anything. Yeah? Sometimes you can go to a cool place, sometimes you cannot go to any place to get rid of that heat. There's a beautiful ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people who are in hell. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. In the hell, he is neither dying nor he is alive. What does it mean? لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. Some people may think that this is impossible. Either something is alive or is dead. How can something be not dead and not alive?
It's not life when he is punished.
My understanding is this. La yamutu fiha, he's not dying, because if he dies, then he gets rid of the problem. Yeah? Those who are suffering in hell, they wish to die, you know? Quran says, Nadaw ya malik. Thumma nadaw ya malik liyaqdha alayna rabbuk. They ask Malik. Malik is the patron of hell. Okay? لَيَقْضَ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. Your Lord should terminate us. So they ask Malik to do something to kill them, to finish them. لَيَقْضَ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُ. Said, no, you have to stay here. So they cannot die. They cannot commit suicide. They cannot say, you know, please execute us. Yeah? You have to stay there. So they are not dying. La yamutu fiha. But what does it mean? Wala yahya. They are not alive. They are not living. If someone is not dying, so he must be living. My understanding is this. What do you mean by life? If you mean by life, understanding, they have it. Otherwise, they were not suffering. They understand, and this is why they suffer. The one who doesn't understand doesn't suffer. Okay? But life has different aspects. One is understanding. Another is to be able to bring a change, to be able to improve the condition, to be able to respond to the situation in the way that suits you. These people are not able to do anything to improve their condition. Okay? So, they are not dead so that they don't understand, and they are not alive in the sense that they can change something. They can just understand in a passive way. You understand? Imagine, for example, if I am here. Okay, like sometimes you have seen about children who are very, very young. Mm-hmm. If there is a fly on their face, annoys them, but they cannot do anything. Yeah? If the child even doesn't understand what is the cause of problem. Or for example, the nappy is wet. The child is crying, so he's suffering, but doesn't know what is the problem and cannot do anything to improve. Okay? So this is a condition in which life is very low. There is understanding, so there is suffering, but there is no ability to do anything to improve. So those who are in hell are in that condition. They understand the situation is bad, they suffer, but they cannot do anything to improve. So لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. But those who are in heaven, they understand, and this is why they enjoy. Because if you don't understand, you don't enjoy. But also, they can improve their condition. They can ask for more. Yes? They can ask Allah for more. فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيَ الْأَنْفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ. They can ask everything, and Allah will give them. So, life in plants is very weak. Then in animals and human beings, or animals including human beings, is higher, but still has problems, limitations. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is perfect. It has perfect understanding, perfect will, power, and perfect power. Power is different from willpower, they're connected. So God has power and has the best understanding and the strongest will power. So he can decide to do things which are better. Do you understand the difference between will and power? You know, we all have power, okay? But unfortunately, many of us, we don't have willpower. What does it mean? For example, we all can become great scholars. If we want, we can become. Okay? But why we don't become? We said Qudra is Kaunul Fa'il Idha Sha'a Fa'al Wa Idha Lam Yasha Lam Yafal. If you want, you become. You do something. If you don't want, you don't become, or you don't do something. But whether you want or you don't want, it's a matter of determination. It's a matter of willpower. So many times we have knowledge. We know what to do. We have also power, but unfortunately, we don't have determination. This is the greatest problem of humanity. Lack of determination. Okay? This is the greatest problem. Even it's worse than ignorance. Because if you really want to become good, if you are determined, you can combat ignorance. But if someone knows everything and has all the power but doesn't want, doesn't have determination, will not go anywhere. So, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, power, will, understanding are perfect. So, this is what we mean by Allah being high. He understands. He understands also what to do, and he has the strongest will to do what he wants. When it comes to human beings, it's lower. When it comes to animals, it's lower. When it comes to plants, it's the lowest. But this doesn't make it impossible to use one concept for all of us. Inshallah, sometime in future, when you study philosophy of religion, you find that something that people in different traditions have struggled with is how to analyze the concepts which are used for God and for human beings. For example, when we say God is knowledgeable and we are knowledgeable, are these two different concepts, or they are the same concepts? Some people have said these are two different concepts. They look the same, but these are two different concepts. But we believe, no, they are the same concept. But different realities. Different realities. This is a little bit complicated. You know, when you have cold water and warm water. For example, in summer, you are very thirsty. It's very hot. Okay? You are very thirsty. You are very much desiring cold water. Okay? So for you, if water is very hot, it's not, you know, satisfying you. So you are in a very good condition to distinguish between cold water and hot or warm water. But this doesn't mean that the concept of water is two when it is used or applied to cold water or to warm water. The concept is the same. Water is water. Water doesn't differentiate in its very concept or notion whether it is cold or warm. Or for example, sometimes there is very good water, you know, very sweet. Sometimes there is salty water. But water in itself can include both of them. Although these two are two different types of water, to be cold, to be warm, to be sweet, to be salty, these are different realities, but it's the same. For example, Rasulullah is a human being. We are also human being. There is big difference between us. But still, it is one concept. You cannot say when we say Rasulullah is Bashar and we are Bashar, this is two different concepts. No, it's one concept, but different realities, different instances. Do you understand? When you say car, a car can be used for a car which is broken. A car can be used for a car which is, you know, moving. A car can be used for a car which is the best car in the world. So there are different realities, different instances to which this term can be applied, but the term has only one common meaning. Is it clear? So when we say alim, and we use it for God or we use it for us, or when we say hayat, life, we use it for God, we use it for us, we use it for plants, it's one concept, but different instances, different realities. This is a very important point. Because if we say these are different concepts, then we don't know what is meant by them when they are used for something which is not ordinary. We say alam is alam, someone who has knowledge, someone who is aware. But what type of knowledge that person has? That is the reality of that knowledge, which is different. Water is water. But whether this water is sweet or salty, is warm or hot, this is not related to the concept, this is related to the reality. Okay? The same is with existence. God exists. We exist. There is a big difference between His existence and our existence, but the term existence is used in the same way. Okay? The term existence is used in the same way. So, life is like existence, is like, you know, many other concepts that we can use it in the same way. I mean, meaning-wise. In the same way. For everything which has life, everything which has existence, but we should know that the reality of life for God is different from us, is different from plants. The reality of His existence, the reality of His knowledge is different. Okay? But the concept is the same. This common concept helps us to understand, to some extent, what God is. But because the reality is different, we don't understand perfectly what He is. We can understand to what extent what He is, but we cannot perfectly understand. For example, we know that God is living, in the sense that He has knowledge, He has understanding, He has will, He has power. But I cannot understand perfectly what is His life. Okay? I cannot understand. Because I have never had any experience of that type of life. Even I cannot understand what was the life quality of the life of the Prophet. I cannot understand. But this doesn't mean that I understand nothing. When I say Rasulullah was alive, so I understand something. Because we are using common terms, but I cannot understand the reality of his life perfectly. Is it clear? So, with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has life, not in the form of growing, because that is a matter of imperfection, deficiency, but in the sense of understanding and power and will to do things in the best way, to do things to improve. But in him, this is perfect. In us, this is limited. Here, I would like to add one point about al-hayat al-tayyiba, or pleasant life, or some people translate it as, you know, goodly life, pleasant life, al-hayat al-tayyiba. You know, life in reality is not a property or a condition for our body. Our body does not have human life. We think that when we are alive, this is the life for body. But indeed, this is not for body. Why? Because life in human being, or in other words, human life, involves understanding. Body doesn't have understanding. What type of life body has? If it has life, it has only the life at the level of a plant. The life of the body is like a plant, like a person who is in a vegetative state. Okay? What is the difference between that body and the body of us? There's no difference between that body and... Okay? Our body and that body are showing the same signs of life. What is different between us and the person who is in vegetative state is the quality of the soul. But then you may say, the soul is always alive. So what is the difference between us? We say, okay, the difference is that in a person who is in a vegetative state, the soul is not fully connected to the body. Soul in itself has always life. But because that soul is not managing body in the way that it used to manage, so you don't see some of the signs of human life in that body. Okay? So that body still can have nutrition, still can, you know, for example, the hair, the nails of that person can grow. Yeah? Because it's vegetative. But if you speak next to that person, doesn't understand. Maybe even the ear is functioning. The ear is maybe functioning. The eyes, maybe if you, you know, put, you know, light, maybe it's functioning. But there is no understanding. Why? Because understanding is a quality of soul. But the soul is using body. When soul is not running body, what happens to body is not reflected in the condition of the soul. And what is also happening in the soul is not reflected in the condition of body. So maybe that person who is in a vegetative state is very, very happy or is very, very sad. We don't understand by looking at the body what is happening to that person. You see? If that person is in a terrible situation, you don't understand. Those who, for example, burn the body of a dead person, they don't know how much harm they are causing to the soul when they are burning that body. Because that pain which is caused to the soul is not reflected in this body because there is no full connection. There is connection, but there is no full connection. So the soul still suffers, but cannot show anything in body, so that you understand. Because you are only looking at the body, you are not able to look at the soul. When soul is running body, and the soul is unhappy, there is some reflection in body. But when soul is not fully connected and is not running and managing body, the conditions of the soul might not be reflected in body. Might not. I'm not saying definitely not, because sometimes it can be still reflected. For example, sometimes the soul is so powerful that even after death can keep body fresh. But this is not for everyone. Yeah? But it's possible. So, life is a quality of the soul, human life. And body is not really alive in a human way. Body is alive in the way which is common between us and animals, between us and plants. Okay? Our body. Our soul has another type of life which is more closer to the soul than to body. The physical life for us ordinary people is more seen in body, the physical life. Yeah? When you want to see whether this person is alive or not, for example, you know, you take his hand, you see, you know, whether it's, there's, you know, blood circulation, so on and so forth. So you are trying to understand whether that person is alive or not by looking at these, you know, signs, which are not perfect signs. Okay? Maybe a person is already dead, and still there is blood, you know, circulation. Maybe a person who is in the vegetative state, his soul is in barzakh already. You don't know. But this is the way we understand physical life, you know, mostly through the signs in body. But our soul has another life, which is much more abstract. And that is the spiritual life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are faithful and pious, He will give you another life, a second life, an additional life. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whoever does righteous deed, whether he's a man or woman, this is available for both men and women. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, does righteous deed, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنُونَ مِنْ ذَكَرًا وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنُونَ, and he is faithful, she is faithful, we will certainly give that person حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, a pleasant life, a goodly life. Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan says that this is a new life, not change in the physical life. You know, when a person is healthy and a person is ill, the difference is what? In the physical life. When a person, you know, for example, is doing lots of, you know, physical exercise, he becomes very fit, you know, very strong. But this is all in the physical life. But a person who does righteous deeds and has faith, he gains hayat tayyib, which is not physical life, which is better. Okay? It's a different type of life. It's a second life that Allah gives you. So you have the physical life, like, you know, a building which has two floors. First floor and second floor. Physical life is the first floor. But there are some people who have a second floor, and that is Hayat Tayyib. those who don't have that hayat al-tayyibah, they lack the second floor, in a sense they are dead. Not physically. Physically maybe they are very fit. But in that sense they are dead. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا. Is the one who is dead. Okay? And then is given life. He was dead, we gave him life. And we gave him light by which he walks among people. Is he like the one who is in darkness and is not coming out? So these are two examples. The example of a person who is in darkness, the example of the person who was dead, but then he was given life and light. Are they the same? No. So there are people who have one floor, there are people who have two floors. Those who don't have the second floor is dark, is empty. It means that they can only understand and communicate to a limited level. They can only do things in a limited way. Okay? Like, you know, the difference between a child and an adult. A child does not understand many things that an adult understands. A child does not respond to many things that an adult person can respond. Okay? So, those who have hayat al-tayyibah, their soul is understanding more, is able to do more, and they have stronger will. Compared to them, other people are dead. Okay? Compared to them, other people are dead. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this option to us. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. For those who believe, respond to the call of Allah and the apostle of God when he wants you to be revived, to be given you a life. Okay? This life is much more perfect than normal human life, much more perfect than animal life and than plant life. Hayat al-tayyibah. But even this life is not comparable to the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still it's much better. Because it has more understanding, it has more power, more determination. But it's still not comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this level of life can sometimes match angels. Those who have this type of life, sometimes they have the same understanding as angels, sometimes even more. Sometimes they can have the same power as angels, sometimes even can have more. They are no longer bound to the limits of the physical world necessarily. Some of them may be because they are new in this. But some of them, the power, the understanding goes beyond the body. When we are in the physical life level, how much you can do? When you are in the physical life level, you can only do things in this world that are accessible to you through your body. If you are the best gardener in the world, and you are in this room, you cannot take care of your garden in home. Because there is no physical touch, there is no physical access. If you are the most learned person in the world and you are in the first level of life, you cannot even see what is happening behind your head. even 1 meter behind your head, you cannot understand what is happening. Even you cannot see what is on your hair. Okay? Why? Because your soul is very much dependent on your body. And your body limits the way your soul is understanding the world. When my soul, which has no direction, which has no dimension, needs to look at this world through my eyes and ear, then it means that my soul would be channeled. I can only understand things in this world that are available to me through my eyes and ear. So the soul in itself is not in any place. The soul in itself doesn't have front and, you know, back. But because the soul depends on body, then my knowledge of soul will be limited. My power of soul will be limited. But if your life becomes more abstract, if your life becomes more spiritual, there is a chance that you get rid of these limitations and you would reach a point that your soul no longer needs body. Your soul can see what is happening in another part of the world. Your soul can do things in another part of the world. Because the soul is no longer using only body, the soul has its own means. So, the most important thing for us is not to be satisfied only with this physical life that we have. Don't think that this is the only option. This is like a child who says, I am satisfied with the milk. You shouldn't be satisfied only with the milk. Milk is very good, but when you grow, there are lots of other, you know, types of food that can be more delicious, can be, you know, something that you enjoy more. You should not be satisfied with Pampers. So it's very comfortable. You should not be satisfied with just a cradle. So this cradle is very good. There are much better, you know, houses for you. Okay? In the same way, we should not be satisfied with this worldly food and worldly house, worldly relations. There are much more available to us. Okay, so the conclusion is that there are different types of life, but we are using the concept of life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that is similar to the way we use concept of life for us, but not that the reality is the same. Reality is not the same, but concept-wise, the same concept, life. It has one meaning. But you have to be very careful not to think that his life is the same as our life. Although, when you say God is living, and when we say we are living, from a linguistic point, they are used in the same sense. Like, for example, when I say water, and I mean this water which is here, which is very, you know, fresh, very nice. And another person says water, and in their village the water is very, you know, dirty. We are using water in the same sense, although the realities are very different. So this is something to remember. Inshallah, we will talk about the qualities of relation, the qualities of action, like creatorship, like God being sustainer, in the next session. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
اللهم صل على محمد.